بسم الله والحمد لله الصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وآله وصحبه ومن والاه رب زدنا علما ولا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. After that ijtihadi exposure concerning the context in which one, I believe, should also understand al-qada wal-qadr as a result of the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In that context, I begin with you to share with you some of the ayat of the Qur'an and the ahadith and the arguments from the Qur'an and the Sunnah. And one of the perhaps most beautiful works that I believe exists, and I myself need to even study deeper, is a work of Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala that I have in front of me here, Shifa'ul Alil. Fi Masail al-Qada'i wal-Qadari wal-Hikmati wal-Ta'lil. It is a work that one must study patiently and hopefully in the context that I had mentioned, and if one is able to go through the language that is used here. It's not too a complex of a language, it's a fluent language, and it's not a difficult language either. Sometimes some of the thoughts and the arguments that are brought need some focus. One hadith I would like to begin with from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that the Sahabi radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Ubadah ibn Samit, had related in accordance to what Abu Dawood had reported, that he said, Ya Bunay, he's speaking to his son, Ya Bunay, إِنَّكَ لَن تَجِدَ طَعْمَ الْإِيمَانِ إِنَّكَ لَن تَجِدَ طَعْمَ الْإِيمَانِ حَتَّى تَعْلَمَ أن ما أصابك لم يكن ليخطئك وأن ما أخطأك لم يكن ليصيبك. إني سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول إن أول ما خلق الله سبحانه وتعالى القلم فقال اكتب فقال القلم يا ربي وماذا أكتب؟ قال اكتب مقادير كل شيء حتى تقوم الساعة. يا بني سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول من مات على غير هذا فليس مني. What does this mean? My companion Ubadah ibn Samit radiallahu ta'ala anha is given words during his dying moments to his son. Oh my son, he tells him what means. Oh my son, you will not taste, and that means you will not taste the sweetness of Iman. So we're speaking now about taste. It's not about simply having, tasting it. Wallahi al-Azim, when one goes through certain stages, you know the difference between saying I have Iman and I have tasted Iman. And tasted the sweetness of Iman. وَإِنَّنِي أَشْهَدُ أَنَّ هَذَا الْكَلَامَ حَقٌّ. Alhamdulillah. And I witness and I bear witness in front of you, in front of Allah, that these words are true. you will not taste, have the taste of Iman. And that taste is not in your tongue, of course, in your qalb. You will not taste that Iman until you know that that which befalls you was not meant to miss you. And that which misses you was not meant to befall you. For I have heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam saying, the meaning of it is, verily the first that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created was al-qalam, the pen. And Allah Azza wa Jalla instructed the pen to write. And the pen said, O Lord, what do I write? Then Allah Azza wa Jalla instructed, write the maqadir of everything until the day of judgment. Now understand one thing. Again, don't forget the introductions I made. Don't forget the context and the background in which I would like us to understand all of this. When we say pen, when we say God spoke to the pen, and the pen spoke, and write, and the pen wrote, remember what we said about the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember that. See, I know already, as I was reading these words, perhaps all of us were already in past, present and future. We're already receiving this in this space. And of course, that's the way we are. But remember, there is the ilm of al-ghayb. The ilm of al-ghayb. And it is that ilm of al-ghayb that characterizes a mu'min from a non-mu'min. Allah Azza wa Jal showed us plenty of evidence, but for some issues, the evidence is not like 1 + 1 + 1 is equal to 3. Not mathematical evidence. Because if there were mathematical evidence for everything, then there will be no unbeliever. And the world of the unseen, to believe in it and in its laws as Allah Azza wa Jalla expresses them, is part of that Iman. And what is the world of the unseen in plausible scientific language, in the context, in accordance with the context I mentioned to you the hour, the last hour? Upper dimensions. The world of the unseen. Ilmul Ghaib. That's Ilmul Ghaib. It's exactly ilm al-ghayb. What it is, Allah knows. And it's interesting that Allah speaks of ilm al-ghayb and so many things that I shared with some of you before in previous encounters. And that He only has His mafatih. وَعِنْدَهُ مَفَاتِحُ الْغَيْبِ لَا يَعْلَمُهَا إِلَّهُ. The keys, the locks of the unseen, He has them, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you remember, I told you about what it means to unlock a gate into another universe in the scientific terms, and what it requires of inimaginable energies if it will ever occur at the scientific level. And Allah says He has the keys to open those doors. So this is ilmul ghaib. Alif lam mim. ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه هدى للمتقين الذين يؤمنون بالغيب. The first surah after Al-Fatiha of the Quran begins that way. This Quran is for those who have iman in the ghaib. And Allah saves us from, subhanahu wa ta'ala, from a lot of unnecessary difficulties and ambiguities and loss. Believe in it. You will always, the more you live, the more you will discover of the truth of that matter. Yet he never asks us to believe in something irrational. There's nothing irrational in this deen. Irrational is rejected in this deen. There are things supra-rational. And there's the unseen. And science acknowledges now the supra-rational in a way, by the existence of upper dimensions. And science says the laws of those dimensions are beyond our comprehensions. The laws of physics break at point t equals zero. Even before that they break, by the way. What is this? That's what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says. And before I know this, and before I believe in it, and before I surrender to it, طعم الإيمان لن أجده في قلبي. والله إنه لحق. Sweetness of Iman inside my qalb, I will never find it. A qalb who does not have this Iman is always agitated. It's always restless. Especially in challenges and when things go wrong. Out of torment and agitation. There's no peace. A heart that does not have this infused in it cannot have peace within itself. See, he said it and he's dying. After long experience, this most committed student of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this is at the bed of his death. My son, you will never taste Iman in your heart unless you have this. And so did Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says. Allah azza wa jal, first he created al-qalam and instructed al-qalam to record, to write. What do I write, Ya Allah? Everything that will happen in space-time. Before it was created. I think you're still in four dimensions. I'm going to repeat this often so that I take us out to facilitate the flow of arguments. Another hadith teaches, رأى الإمام مسلم أن الله سبحانه وتعالى كتب الله مقادير الخلائق قبل أن يخلق السماوات والأرض بخمسين ألف سنة. That Allah سبحانه وتعالى has recorded, كتب, if we translate it literally, the maqadir. Maqadir is one of the plurals of qadar, one of the plurals of miqdar. Miqdar means measurement, measure of everything, of all his creatures and his creation, subhanahu wa ta'ala, before he created the universes and earth 50,000 years before. كتب الله مقادير الخلائق قبل أن يخلق السماوات والأرض بخمسين ألف سنة وكان عرشه على الماء. And his arsh was upon water. Again, don't stay in four dimensions. Please. وَكَانَ عَرْشُهُ عَلَى الْمَاءِ. And his arsh was upon water. Don't stay in four dimensions. You can't. It will help you. كَانَ عَرْشُهُ عَلَى الْمَاءِ. Don't stay in four dimensions. Don't think in four dimensions. Neither spatially nor temporally. Don't be here, and you can't be there anyways. So just read these words with the context that we mentioned. And I'm going to say more, inshallah, later. Bi-idhnillah. His arsh, as described by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, الَّذِي لَا أَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَى, the arsh of the Rahman. You know what arsh means, everyone? Right? Throne, in literal translation into English in four dimensions. Throne, that's a word, throne. Throne. Arsh. وَسِعَ كُرْسِيُّهُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, says Allah Azza wa Jalla, the kursi of His throne encompasses all the universes and earth. What arsh is this? Is this four-dimensional arsh? Allahu Akbar. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in an authentic hadith that I know of, describes the arsh. And some ulama bring this text in the commentary on that ayah in surah, in ayat al-kursi. And it is related that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the kursi of the Rahman, now the kursi of the Rahman is in the Rahman dimension. The word kursi is a our dimensional usage of the of reality. And in that our dimensional reality, what is a kursi in Arabic? In four-dimensional Arabic? No, the kursi in the Arabic language, of course, now we say this is kursi, a chair, but actually kursi in that language is where you put your feet. So you have a throne, the throne of the king, and you put your feet, something, we put your feet, that's a kursi. So the text teaches that the kursi of the Rahman, in relationship to the universes and all earths and all space-time, says Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all of that is like a ring thrown in a vast desert. السماوات والأرض كلهن السماوات السبع ومن فيهن والأرضون السبع ومن فيهن. بالنسبة وبالإضافة إلى الكرسي كحلقة ملقاة في فلاة. Is this a four-dimensional arsh? How? And in another text it says, and the kursi in relationship to the arsh is like a halqa mulqatun fi falah, is like a ring thrown into a vast desert. Are you understanding now that these are only four-dimensional words to use to describe something beyond four dimensions or not? وَكَانَ عَرْشُهُ عَلَى الْمَاءِ. Allah says, وَكَانَ عَرْشُهُ عَلَى الْمَاءِ. وَكَانَ عَرْشُهُ عَلَى الْمَاءِ. You ask me, there was ma? Yes, there was ma. كَانَ عَرْشُهُ عَلَى الْمَاءِ. Yes, there كَانَ عَرْشُهُ عَلَى الْمَاءِ. How? I have no idea. I do not know. I know it is real. It has a reality, حَقِيقَةً, so, in that dimension. For I really know that in dimensions, as far even as we know as human beings, there are things that are beyond description. That I cannot describe to you. Yet they are real in their own dimensions. I gave us a few examples earlier. Remember the context in which we, inshallah, chose to speak on all of this. Allah Azza wa Jal teaches in His Qur'an, Subhanahu wa ta'ala, مَا أَصَابَ مِن مُصِيبَةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مِّن قَبْلِ أَن نَبْرَأَهَا إِنَّ ذَلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ يَسِيرٌ. سبحان الله. إِنَّ ذَلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ يَسِيرٌ, says Allah Azza wa Jal. There is not a musibah, an occurrence, that befalls, that occurs on earth or in yourselves, There is no such an occurrence that occurs on earth or on in yourselves that has not already been recorded before we created it. And that it means before we created earth, before we created the musibah itself, the occurrence itself, before we created you, the nafs. Don't stay in four dimensions. Don't think in four dimensions, because I can see almost, I can feel vibes of minds going in the axis of time. They're trying to, already you're trying to see cause and effect in four dimensions. Am I right? I think I am. Now the next question comes, well. Before that, the Qur'an speaks to us about another type of taqdeer, another type of decree that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made before creating things, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we read a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for example, annahu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal, ma minkum min ahadin, ma min nafsin manfusatin illa waqad katab Allahu makanaha min al-jannati wal-nar. Ma minkum min ahadin, ما من نفس منفوسة إلا وقد كتب الله مكانها من الجنة والنار وإلا قد كتبت شقية أو سعيدة. قال فقال رجل يا رسول الله أفلا نمكث على كتابنا وندع العمل؟ فقال من كان من أهل السعادة فسيصير إلى عمل أهل السعادة ومن كان من أهل الشقاوة فسيصير إلى عمل أهل الشقاوة. ثم قرأ صلى الله عليه وسلم فأما من أعطى واتقى وصدق بالحسنى فسنيسره لليسرى وأما من بخل واستغنى وكذب بالحسنى فَسَنُيَسِّرُهُ لِلْعُسْرَةِ. And in another text, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, اِعْمَلُوا فَكُلٌّ مُيَسَّرٌ أَمَّا أَهْلُ السَّعَادَةِ فَسَيُيَسَّرُونَ لِعَمَلِ أَهْلِ السَّعَادَةِ وَأَمَّا أَهْلُ الشَّقَاوَةِ فَيُيَسَّرُونَ لِعَمَلِ أَهْلِ الشَّقَاوَةِ. In another relation, in another report, I'm sorry, فَلِمَ الْعَمَلُ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ فَقَالَ عَمَلُوا فَكُلٌّ مُيَسَّرٌ لِمَا خُلِقَ لَهُ. In another report he says, عَمَلُوا فَكُلٌّ مُيَسَّرٌ لِمَا خُلِقَ لَهُ. This text means, now actually let me read another text for you, and then I translate, inshallah ta'ala. Two men from the tribe of Muzayna came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they inquired of him and said, Ya Rasulullah, أَرَأَيْتَ مَا يَعْمَلُ النَّاسُ الْيَوْمَ وَيَكْدَحُونَ فِيهِ أَشَيْءٌ قُضِيَ عَلَيْهِمْ وَمَضَى فِيهِمْ مِنْ قَدَرٍ قَدْ سَبَقْ أَمْ فِيمَا يَسْتَقْبِلُونَ بِهِ مما أتاهم به نبيهم وثبتت به الحجة عليهم. فقال بل شيء قضي عليهم ومضى فيهم وتصديق ذلك في كتابه عز وجل ونفس وما سواها فألهمها فجورها وتقواها. Related by Imam Muslim. Those of you understood Arabic, again don't remain in four dimensions. I know it's difficult, but I'm just trying to remind us to do that with our hearts and possibly intellectually. And the first text says what means there is not one created of you. There's no individual created, and there is no nafs, soul, into which life is breathed, that is created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, except that its place in Jannah and its place in hell is already recorded. And it is already recorded as miserable or happy. A man retorted and asked, Ya Rasulullah, أَفَلَا نَمْكُثُ عَلَى كِتَابِنَا وَنَدَعُ الْعَمَلِ. Look, their attitude, radiallahu ta'ala anhum. And they brought very important questions. And their attitude in response to that, to the response of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then one of them said, Ya Rasulullah, then shall we not leave acting and doing things and rely on what has already been pre-recorded? And he said, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, no. La, in another report, I'm sorry. قَالَ عَمَلُوا فَكُلٌّ مُيَسَّرٌ لِمَا خُلِقَ لَهُ. He says, no, in other words, he says, no, work, do things. For everyone will be facilitated that for which he or she was created. The people of happiness will have their way facilitated for what they were created for. And the people of hell will have their way facilitated for what they were created for. Or in other words, also, do work. Everyone will do the works that will lead to misery. Do work, for everyone will work that which will lead him to happiness, as already recorded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he recited the ayah from the Qur'an, which means, as to the one who gives in charity and has taqwa and believes in al-husna, believes in the hereafter and Jannah, such an individual, we shall facilitate, help him to al-yusra, to things that are easier, to Jannah. And the one who is selfish and miser, wastaghna, and feels self-sufficient and rejects al-husna, the hereafter and the Jannah and the Nar, such an individual we shall nuyassiruhu, we shall, if you will, facilitate the path of hardship for him, the path of al-usra that leads to usr and that leads to Jahannam, wal-iyadh billah. The other text, two men from the tribe of Muzayna came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and asked him, Ya Rasulullah, irhamkullah, is this that people are doing, the acts of people and the endeavors of people that we see people do today, and their exertions to achieve things and do things, is it something that has already been decreed upon them and decided for them of the qadr, of the previous qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or is it something that is futuristic depending on what their Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brought to them, and in accordance with the evidence he brought and the arguments he brought, and those arguments were evidence against them. Is what happens to them the result of this evidence, or the result of qada of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? He replied, nay, it is the result of qada of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he said, the truth of that is in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَنَفْسٍ وَمَا سَوَّاهَا فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. Every nafs, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and how excellent He made it, and how subhanahu wa ta'ala He fashioned it, وَأَلْهَمَهَا, and then He infused or inspired in it, فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا, its wickedness and its taqwa. Alhamdulillah. This teaches us that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, in reply to that individual who asked the same question all of us ask, and every Muslim and every human being has asked in this context of al-qada wal-qadr. And he replied sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, no, work. Because they understood that if it is qada and qadr as they understood it, then they understood that what we do, we have no control over it. Then why do things? The way he explained it, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was in Nabi and Rasul, and they did what he said. He said, no work. Ta'ala Allahu anil subhanahu wa ta'ala anil abath. Allah is exalted from vain discourse. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is exalted from incoherence. You mean he's telling him that Allah is forcing you to do things anyways, but go ahead and do things, and whatever you do, you go into hell or you go into paradise. That's how some people understood. Not of the companions. But is that what he meant? No. Because if it were so, why work? Why do things? It is not so. It is not so because of what I already shared with you. What I understand in my dimension is not what occurs necessarily in the divine dimension. Please keep that in mind. They're two different worlds. The language and the logic of this world is, we're going to talk about it, is cause and effect, and we have to do things to reach things. That is not so for God. Does God have to do things to get things? Does He? No. Is God subjected to past, present and future? No. Does God not know what you and I will do before we do them? Yes, He does. And I think the context in which we said things earlier make these things also very helpful for us to appreciate and understand. Now, do I know where I will end? No. Knowing where I will end is in what universe? Is in the other universe. It's in the other dimension. It's beyond my dimension. I don't know that dimension. I have no idea. I will never know where I will end up until I will end up there. See the point? That's why he says, do, as far as you're concerned, as if he's telling him, and I'm using my language, as if he's telling me, in your dimension, that's your logic. Don't impose your logic on God's sifat. You cannot subject Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to your notion of time. If you say, I don't work, you didn't get it. If you didn't work and you don't work and you die like that, that's what happened to you. That's your sha'awa. You have done, you have acted like a person whose abode will be hell. And who did those acts? You or God? Who killed? Who stole? Who lied? Who committed zina? Who took intoxicants? Who backbited? Or who backbit? Who? It is your fi'l. It is your action. It is your kasb. So if I don't act, I am simply acting in accordance to those whose abode will be the fire of hell. It is only after the fact that I know whether I was of the people of Jannah or of the people of hell. Will I ever know? Before then? No, unless Allah Azza wa Jalla, as we know, gives glad tidings to some of His ibad, those are exceptions of rules, to anbiya and anbiya to awliya. And sometimes Allah Azza wa Jalla gives human beings indications, brings to them glad tidings in their lives to show them that they are on the track of the people of Jannah, inshaAllah. Please, does this make sense? Fact is, you and I don't know. I live the axis of time. God does not. So as far as I'm concerned, for me, I repeat, to say, well then, I'm going to cheat, I'm going to lie, I'm not going to do the good things. Is that not doing or is that doing? That is doing the amal of Ahlul Shaqawa. فَسَيَصِيرُ إِلَىٰ عَمَلِ أَهْلِ الشَّقَاوَةِ. And if I continue that way and I die that way, I made that decision. Because as far as I'm concerned, in this dimension, that's all I have access to. And I must not mix and I must not mix again the world of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the dimension of the divine being and the dimension of the creature. It's just they're two different worlds, two different dimensions. When I am required to do things, to work hard for the causes that lead to the good things, and work hard to avoid the causes that lead to the evil things, in the world of my causality, that's my world. The only world I know, the only world I will always know until I die. And that's very logical and very common sense, and Allah says, do that. And yet at the same time, He says, subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is nothing that occurs in this universe without the knowledge and the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is nothing that occurs in this universe of events, specific events general global events, without His knowledge and without His will. That will lead me to the next point, that in the qada wa qadar concept, we have to have these four manifestations of qada and qadar clear in our hearts and minds. Number one, علم الله عز وجل. Number two, كتابة الله عز وجل. Number three, مشيئة الله عز وجل. Number four, خلق الله عز وجل. علم, كتابة, مشيئة, خلق. Ilm, and the ayat of the Qur'an are replete about that. That there is nothing that Allah Azza wa Jal does not know. before it was, and I recited to you earlier some texts about that. Inna Allah bi kulli shay'in alim. Inna Allah bi kulli shay'in alim. Allah Azza wa Jalla verily has ilm, knowledge of everything. Kullu shay in language means kullu shay, means al-a'yanu wal-af'alu, means things material and things immaterial. Thoughts, ideas, works, deeds, in addition to material things. Allah knows everything. And He knows everything before it was. There is an ayah, subhanAllah, that says in Surah Al-An'am, وَعِنْدَهُ مَفَاتِحُ الْغَيْبِ لَا يَعْلَمُهَا إِلَّا هُوَ وَمَا تَسْقُطُ مِنْ وَرَقَةٍ إِلَّا يَعْلَمُهَا وَلَا حَبَّةٍ فِي ظُلُمَاتِ الْأَرْضِ وَلَا رَطْبٍ وَلَا يَابِسٍ إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مُبِينٍ. In addition to what the text that you mentioned earlier, there are many texts that will lead to unequivocal certainty about this. And this ayah says, Allah has and owns the keys of the unseen. And only He has knowledge of that. Number two, وَمَا تَسْقُطُ مِنْ وَرَقَةٍ إِلَّا يَعْلَمُهَا. And this is about specific knowledge, even at the moment when it takes place, not only before it takes place. There is not a leaf that falls that He does not know of. A leaf that falls. Is this how human beings talk about power and knowledge? This is not a language of a human being. A leaf? How many leaves fall per second in the world? There is not a leaf that falls and that He doesn't know of. How many leaves? Big leaves, small leaves, needle-type leaves, billions of leaves, especially if you go to the Adirondack Mountains. In the fall time, and you watch those leaves falling, and you watch the leaves on the floor, the needles on the ground, and you think of this ayah, you are just overwhelmed. وَمَا تَسْقُطُ مِنْ وَرَقَةٍ إِلَّا يَعْلَمُهَا. No, not enough. وَلَا حَبَّةٍ فِي ظُلُمَاتِ الْأَرْضِ. And there is not a habba, a particle, in the darknesses of earth that He doesn't know of. Even before it is, including the leaves, because of the end of that ayah. وَلَا حَبَّةٍ. Habba, you know, a particle. And habba could be of any, small, of any dimension, of any volume. وَلَا حَبَّةٍ فِي ظُلُمَاتِ الْأَرْضِ. In the darknesses of the earth. وَلَا رَطْبٍ وَلَا يَابِسٍ. There is nothing moist or dry. Moist or dry. إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مُبِينٍ. All of that Allah knows and is already in a clear record. SubhanAllah. Number one, علم الله عز وجل وسع كل شيء. His ilm has encompassed everything. And so He said so. We're not inventing things. We're not speculating. It is He who described Himself that way. Who am I to say otherwise? Or to speculate, or to use the inclinations inside my qalb. Remember, knowledge has to operate on a qalb. And it depends on what that qalb is. The outcome comes. And I shall connect this later to something, inshallah ta'ala. Number two, al-mashi'ah. Mashi'atullah Azza wa Jal. Mashi'ah. Mashi'ah. Na'am? Na'am? Oh, I missed al-kitaba? Yeah, jazakallah khair. Al-kitaba. As I said, yes, jazakallah khair. Al-kitaba. The recording. Literally, or the writing. And remember, this recording or writing is in the context of the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Please don't think of a pen like yours now, writing on a paper like yours now. Sifatullahi wa fa'aluhu subhanahu wa ta'ala. All of this that is known is already recorded. And there are many ayat in the Quran that speak about that. Including this ayah that I just recited a moment ago. Illa fi kitabin mubin. إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مِّنْ قَبْلِ أَنَّ نَبْرَأَهَا وَإِنَّهُ فِي أُمِّ الْكِتَابِ عِنْدَنَا لَعَلِيٌّ كَذَا. الآية. And that is the لوح المحفوظ that Allah and His Rasul صلى الله عليه وسلم speak to us about. لوح literally in four dimensional language is what? What is it? Tablet. Scroll, tablet, as four-dimensional language. Mahfuz, preserved. Lawhun mahfuz. So don't imagine a lawh in four dimensions and mahfuz in a box. Ta'ala Allah an dhalika aluwan kabira. In that lawh have been recorded everything. The qalam, that qalam, recorded on the lawh everything to be until the hour. Everything. Part of that which is maktub, part of that which is recorded for the human being at the level of a person, that the angels will know about later. Angels then later are commanded when you and I are in the wombs of our mothers. Then the angels are given knowledge by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the Lawh al-Mahfuz to record the future of this person. Not only his or her morphology, but their deeds, whether rich or poor, whether happy or miserable, and how long he or she will live. And that is in one text, it is said, recorded on the Jabin. يُكْتَبُ عَلَى جَبِينِ يُكْتَبُ فِي جَبِينِ. It is written in his Jabin, his forehead. And if you saw a picture of a fetus, subhanallah, around that age that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam speaks about, when the Malak records that, around that age, subhanallah, on the forehead, I forgot what they call them in scientific language, subhanallah, I used to know what it was called, I was not expecting to say this. Things like we have on a fingernail, you know, those prints on our fingers, on the tip of our fingers, something like that, subhanallah, circles like that, really clear when you look at it as a magnified picture, subhanallah. And it is said each one has a different one, like the fingerprints. What do the fingerprints mean anyways, besides the physical dimension that we know of? Everyone has a different fingerprint. Doesn't it tell you something? Everyone has something different. Is that part of or all of that record that is being spoken about here? And it is in the Jabin? And after a while, right after a while, then that part is covered, subhanAllah, by skin and so on, and it becomes invisible. And so we can't see it. You see a picture? Have you ever seen this picture? Some of you have? You have? SubhanAllah. It's, wallahi al-azim, it's... goosebumps on your skin. You see that and you read the hadith, the recording on the Jabin, and on the Jabin, only on the Jabin, there are those patterns. Only on the Jabin, there are those patterns. And later on the fingerprints, on the fingertips, I'm sorry. SubhanAllah. Kitab, and then Mashi'ah. Mashi'ah. And Mashi'ah would be translated in English as perhaps will, the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that means, and the ayat of the Quran and the hadith are so many, that says and that imply, that imply and say that there is nothing that occurs in this creation without His will. Only that He, that which He wills, will be, and that which He does not will never be. And therefore, مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ كَانْ وَمَا لَمْ يَشَأْ لَمْ يَكُنْ, says Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا أَنْ يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ, says Allah Azza wa Jal. وَلَوْ شَاءَ رَبُّكَ مَا فَعَلُوهُ, says Allah Azza wa Jal. وَلَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ وَلَوْ شَاءَ رَبُّكَ لَآمَنَ مَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ كُلُّهُمْ جَمِيعًا, and so on. The ayat are too numerous to enlist, or to list, I'm sorry. And the ahadith as well. مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ كَانْ وَمَا لَمْ يَشَأْ لَمْ يَكُنْ. Now here let us be careful about a concept in Mashi'ah, especially when we translate it as will in English. In Arabic, there is Mashi'ah and there is Irada. Two different words that are translated usually in English as will. Sometimes irada is translated as volition, and mashi'ah is translated as will. There are two types of mashi'ah. There is mashi'ah kawniyah or qadariyah, and there is mashi'ah shar'iyah or diniyah. Things, if you don't understand them, please record them and then reflect on them later. And then inshallah we'll learn to understand things gradually. Mashi'atun kawniyatun or qadariyah, and the second type, mashi'ah shar'iyah or diniyah. Because, how do we know that? From the Quran and from the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The same word sometimes is used of sha'a, and it has two meanings. Mashi'a kawniya, which means this will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that has to do with the very, very beginning, before Allah created things, when He decreed things, He willed things to be, and that's a, if you will, kawniya, that has to do with al-wujud, with the code, with the cosmos, the cosmic will, if you will. Namely, for example, that Allah Azza wa Jal willed that I am a male and that she is a female. And that He willed, subhanahu wa ta'ala, that the earth will have this shape, and the sun will have this volume, and that this abd will be kafir, that abd will be a mu'min. That his mashi'ah, kawniyah. And that mashi'ah kawniyah is constant. Does not change, unchangeable. And human beings or creatures have no access to it. That's the one that has to do with the upper dimensions. We have no access to those dimensions. That Mashiach originates there, if you will. And therefore, we have no access to it, no influence on it, no interaction with it, if you will. And the second Mashiach is Mashiach Shar'iyyah. That's a Mashiach that is four-dimensional, if you will. And that is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses that term to imply that He wills that the human beings do certain things. Like He commanded us to do certain things and not to do other things. And He willed that we don't do the bad things, and He willed that we do the good things. Yet, some human beings who are commanded to do the good things will not do them, and some human beings who are commanded to not to do the bad things will do them. So you mean things happened while God did not will them? Yes. That's a will that is shar'i dini. That's a four-dimensional will. That's my language. The ulama call mashi'atun shar'iyyatun or mashi'atun diniyya. And that has to do with this world, with these dimensions. And the people choose to obey or choose not to obey. That's not in the language of the Quran, the language of the deen. It's not a mashi'ah amma, the general mashi'ah, that all-encompassing mashi'ah, that universal mashi'ah, that supra-dimensional mashi'ah. It's a mashi'ah that has to do with this dimension, with this world. It's a command by Allah Azza wa Jalla. And it is that people disobey, because He gave them that choice. Giving them a choice to choose is, giving them a choice to choose is which Mashiach? Huh? Can't hear you? No. This is Kauniyah. That He gave them the choice to choose, that He gave them a will in these dimensions as they understand them, that's His Mashi'ah Kawniyah. That's what Allah says in the Quran, وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهِ. You have no will except when Allah wills. Which means you have a will because Allah willed that you have a will. And therefore our will is within these four dimensions, which are within the will of supra dimensions. Does it help? وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهِ. So if we read the Qur'an sometimes, we read the text, don't be confused between the two. Some have been confused between the two and did not distinguish and could not see that, because they tried to read the Qur'an perhaps in light of already existing notions in their minds and in their hearts. They and we did not first cleanse our hearts to read the Qur'an as it is and to read the Sunnah as it is without those inclinations. And wallahi al-azim, it makes a difference. And in this case, great scholars of great intellect may slip. If their qulub have not been also in constant tazkiyah from inclinations. Because that knowledge, again, as we have learned the first day, will go through a state of a qalb. And if there are inclinations, then the ball will roll down the inclination.